The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter Number 18, Text Number 29, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Kikari, recorded on October 31st, 2010, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 18, Text Number 29. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate Te Vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Hiranmayepi bhagavan nivasati kurma tanum brahmanastasya tat priyatamang tanumaryama sahavarsha purushai pati ganadi patir upadhavati mantram imang chanu japati. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Shukadeva Goswami continued, in Hiranyamaya Varsha, the Supreme Lord Vishnu lives in the form of a tortoise, Kurma Sharira. This most dear and beautiful form is always worshipped there in devotional service by Aryama, the chief resident of Hiranyamaya Varsha, along with other inhabitants of that land. They chant the following hymns. Purport. The word priyatama, dear most, is very significant in this verse. Each devotee regards a particular form of the Lord as most dear. Because of an atheistic mentality, some people think that the tortoise, boar, and fish incarnations of the Lord are not very beautiful. They do not know that any form of the Lord is always the fully opulent personality of Godhead. Since one of his opulences is infinite beauty, all the Lord's incarnations are very beautiful and are appreciated as such by devotees. Non-devotees, however, think that Lord Krishna's incarnations are ordinary material creatures, and therefore they distinguish between the beautiful and the not beautiful. A certain form of the Lord is worshipped by a particular devotee because he loves to see that form of the Lord. As stated in Brahma Samhita 5:33, Advaitchamachutamanadimanantarupam manjang purana purusham navayovanamcha. The very beautiful form of the Lord is always youthful. Sincere servants of a particular form of the Lord always see that form is very beautiful, and thus they engage in constant devotional service to Him.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Bada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatan Vitam Sajiva Sadaitam Zabadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanditamscha.
So, Krishna is really beautiful. That's a fact. As Prabhupada explains, infinite beauty. Even when he comes as a pig, even when Krishna appears as a boar or a pig, he's beautiful. Have you ever seen a beautiful pig before? No, pigs are ugly. But when Krishna becomes pig, svinya, you see, very beautiful svinya, you see. Actually, Prabhupada says that Krishna comes in every species. I mean, Krishna comes as a dog also, a snake, he, every form. Every single form. And when he appears in that form, he is most beautiful. Krishna is, there's nobody more good looking than Krishna. He's the best looking person in all of existence. Every square inch of his body, I mean his shoulders, his elbows, his nose, his ears, I mean everything. Every single square inch is just the most beautiful looking person you could ever imagine. Every limb is full of the most dazzling splendor. Well, let's see if I can put it in some more simple English here. That's dazzling? It means effulgent, bright, very, very beautiful and attractive effulgent. And splendor means, it's emanating the most wonderful, amazing beauty you could ever imagine. So for one who actually becomes Krishna conscious, nothing else is attractive. No amount of beautiful women or beautiful men or money or power or fame or anything competes for the beauty of Krishna. It's like Rukmini, you know. She wanted nobody but Krishna. Even though Shishupal was a very powerful kshatriya, Rukmini wanted Krishna and Krishna only. So this is the devotee, you see, he wants only Krishna. You offer him anything else, he says, no thank you, I don't want it. Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktira haitakitvai. I don't want money. I don't want disciples. I don't want beautiful women. I don't even want liberation. All I want is devotional service. Actually, how can he say he doesn't want liberation? Devotee is already liberated, that's why. Srila Prabhupada explains, for anyone who is fully absorbed, thought, words, and actions in the service of Krishna, he is already a liberated soul. Even though he may appear to be a conditioned soul of this world, any person, any devotee who's fully engaged, all of his thoughts, all of his words, and all of his deeds in the service of Krishna, he's a liberated soul, jivan mukta.
Bet kas kas yra mintis, žodžius ir veiksmus paskiria Krishna, jis yra jau išvaduotas.
And in this connection, Srila Prabhupada further explains that one who is fully absorbed in preaching Krishna consciousness movement, he is a Nitya Siddha. He's an associate of Lord Chaitanya. So, this wonderful position of pure Krishna consciousness is available for each and every one of us. We simply have to take it. That's at every minute we have a choice between Krishna or Maya. We can think thoughts that are Krishna conscious, or we can think thoughts that are not Krishna conscious. You have the power to accept Krishna conscious thoughts and reject Maya thoughts. You have the power. So will you use your power to reject mayic thoughts, or you will not use your power to reject mayic thoughts? It's completely up to you. You can't say, well, I'm just a victim of circumstance, I can't help it. I'm in the middle of a materialistic society, so what can I do? I just have to be a materialist. That's not a fact. You have the power to choose whether you want to be Krishna conscious or not. Whether you want to be in the mode of ignorance, the mode of passion, the mode of goodness, or you want to be situated beyond the modes. An intelligent person will study the different results of being in the mode of ignorance, the mode of passion, the mode of goodness, and transcendental position. It's like if someone is going to buy a car, you see. They will check out the different kind of cars and see which car is best. They won't blindly just go buy any car. They will see what card will give them the best for what they need. So if we're so careful about choosing a car, then why we should be careless when it comes to choosing our consciousness? Does that make sense? You'd be so careful about choosing a car or choosing a pair of blue jeans or whatever it might be. You see? We're so careful to choose things that we purchase for ourselves. When it comes to choosing our consciousness, we think, well, whatever happens, happens. I mean, it's just not very intelligent, you know. Human life is meant for intelligence. You can choose what you want to be. You want to be a tamaguni. You want to be a rajaguni. You want to be a sattvaguni. Or do you want to be a pure devotee? You have the power to make that choice. Now what will you do with that power? Will you not use that power and just be carried away by the waves of the material nature? Or will you use that power and conquer over the senses and become a Goswami? Well, you say, well, that, come on, that's for the sannyasis. I'm a householder or a brahmachari, you know. What are you talking about, Goswami? I mean, but no, Prabhupada said that every devotee in this should become Goswami. Every
day.
Master of the senses. We are not meant to be slaves of these senses. As long as you remain a slave of the senses, you will commit so many offenses. Senses means offenses. So don't be in the platform of senses and offenses. Come to the platform of the Supreme Beauty, the most good-looking person in all of existence. Become an associate of the best-looking person in all of existence. The most attractive person. The most beautiful, the most powerful, the most renounced. The wealthiest, the most knowledgeable, and the most famous person. In this world, everybody is very eager to meet a superstar. And they want to get autograph, have a word or two with them. They can tell all their friends, well, guess what? I met Paul McCartney the other day when at the airport. And, wow. You see, people like to meet some superstar, you see. So why not meet the supreme superstar? All of the superstars of this world, they are shooting stars. You know what a shooting star is? It shoots through the sky very bright and then it disappears. It burns up and vanishes into nothing. So all the superstars of this material world, all the way from all the way to even Lord Brahma himself, they eventually vanish into oblivion. Where is Elvis Presley now? Nobody knows. He left his body on the toilet. Who knows where he went? You see? So, instead of being attracted to the superstars of this world, become attracted to the supreme superstar whose fame is ever increasing. And who will give you the superstars of this world, you're lucky, you might get 30 seconds of their time, you see. But this supreme superstar, Krishna, he will give you all of his time forever. He can expand, if you are fully devoted to him, he will expand a form of himself which is just for you. That you can enjoy rasa with that particular Krishna for all of eternity. Krishna can manifest an unlimited number of forms to please each and one of his unlimited number of devotees. Just like those queens in Dwarka. Each queen got their own Krishna. Can you imagine that? They got their own Krishna. Wow, I might get my own Krishna. They thought they had the only Krishna. Now the power of Krishna's yoga maya, they thought I had the only Krishna. Those poor other queens, Krishna's always coming to my palace. They felt that Krishna was exclusively their property. And actually he was. That is the inconceivable nature of God. He becomes the exclusive property of his pure devotee. That's it. So how do you get that exclusive relationship with Krishna? Do you know the secret of how to get that exclusive relationship with Krishna? That is described in Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 9, text 22. Ananyaschintayanto mang yejana prayapasate tesham nityapayuktanang yogachemam vahamyaham. And what does Krishna say? He says, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. That means If you want to have Krishna be exclusively your property, then you must exclusively love Krishna. That Krishna is all of my love, 100%, 200%, 1,000% of my love, it all goes to Krishna. Krishna is a jealous lover. He wants all of your affection. 99.9999999999999% is not enough. If you give Krishna 99.99% of your affection, what is he going to look at? He's going to look at the 0.0001 that you're not giving to him. Why are you holding? I see this part you're holding back. Why are you holding that part back? Prabhupada said that. Krishna does not see what you give to him, he sees what you're holding back. So don't hold anything back. Not even within your thoughts. You give everything to Krishna. So what if you're having difficulty, like we all have, you know, we're in Maya, we're thinking about this and that. And how to overcome these difficulties? How to come to pure devotion? We're all struggling with our rascal minds at every minute. So how to subdue that rascal and turn him into a devotee? Well, you have to beg, Prabhus and Matajis, you got to beg. You have to beg. Krishna is very kind. He wants you to become his pure devotee. He wants you to be completely out of Maya. Totally absorbed in nectar and rasa with him at every minute. That's what he wants. So all you got to do is beg him, my dear Lord, please help me. I want to be your pure devotee. Please engage me in pure bhakti, my Lord. So what is that prayer for begging for pure bhakti?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
So when you chant Hare Krishna, should you do it mechanically to get it over with as fast as possible? Just vibrating the names on your lips? Or should you call from your heart, begging for the Lord's mercy to save you from this material existence? What sort of cry do you have? Is it superficial? Or is it coming from the innermost core of your being? How you call out to Krishna, that will make you or break you in devotional service. So we have to call out to Krishna from deep within the heart, begging for his mercy. Please save me, my Lord. Please save me. So in this way, if you can become fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, in all times, all places and circumstances, you will not be attracted to frivolous activities that waste your time. We see that sometimes we are distracted by frivolous activities that are a waste of time. Just like what Prabhupada say, he said the fourth regulated principle, no gambling, also includes no frivolous sports. Sports, you know, like basketball, tennis, you know, football, baseball, soccer, badminton. Prabhupada told us the fourth principle is no frivolous sports. Frivolous means wasting time. We should be so busy cultivating pure devotional service by hearing, chanting, and discussing what's in these books of Srila Prabhupada, that we don't have time for frivolous sports. If somebody invites me to play football, I say, well, let me finish the Bhagavatam first. And then they again invite me to play football. I say, well, I have to read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then after that, they say, well, first let's make the whole world Krishna conscious. First, let's save the world, then we can think about playing football, you see. I mean, if you want to play sports, you know, why not play the supreme sport? I always say this. Why not play the supreme sport? Sport means who controls the ball. It's like this table tennis, you see, who can control the ball better? They win the game. So, now we are sitting on top of a very, very big ball. It is the planet Earth. So you like to play ball? Come on, join the big time ball game. Right now, this ball is in the control of the asuras. So come and play ball, what's called the Sankirtan ball. You like sports? You like ball games? Okay, now play the supreme ball game. Let's take over this planet for Prabhupada. Let's win this game for Srila Prabhupada. Then we're going to take control of this planet by convincing everyone to become Krishna conscious. That is the supreme ball game. You can't attract me with these other sports. I used to play sometimes sports when I was a little kid, you know. But I'm not attracted to those games anymore. Because now I'm playing the supreme ball game. As a member of the ISKCON team. Our ball game is to take over the world for Srila Prabhupada. It's the most exciting ball game you could ever play. The odds are stacked against us. The odds are stacked against us. That means the opposing side is very strong. What is the likelihood by tomorrow the whole world will chant Hare Krishna? What are the odds? Can we expect that by tomorrow afternoon the whole world will be chanting Hare Krishna? Maharaji says no. It's not very likely. Because there are millions and billions of non-devotees out there promoting sense gratification. And we're a small handful of men and women, you see, trying to make a revolution against this material civilization. So what are the odds of our success? What are the chances? 1 out of 100, 1 out of 1 million, 1 out of 1 billion? The odds are practically nothing. I mean, the chance of doing it is practically nothing. Just like, what are the odds that that little sparrow could get her eggs back from the ocean? That little sparrow, the bird, The ocean took her eggs. What is the likelihood that a sparrow would be... You know the story of the sparrow? The ocean stole her eggs. So she wanted to get her eggs back from the ocean. The ocean said, ha, you stupid little bird, I'm never going to give you your eggs back. So that sparrow was determined, I'm going to dry up the ocean. She would go running down to the water, she would take some drops, she would bring it back and deposit it on the land. Now, how long would it take the sparrow to dry up the ocean, two or three drops at a time? Does the sparrow have a lifespan that would even allow it enough time to do that? No. The sparrow's lifespan is not, even if she was taking it, constantly doing it, for, you know, she would die long before the ocean got dried up. So the odds of her being successful are zero. But when Garuda found out about this, that my little sister has had her eggs stolen by the ocean, and everybody is laughing at her and making fun of her, he became very, very angry. And you know that Garuda, he has all mystic powers. He is the carrier of Lord Vishnu. He is full of all Shakti, mystic Shakti. So he came swooping in great anger to that scene. And he told that ocean, you better give those eggs right back right now, and I'm going to dry you up in a minute. So the ocean very fearfully returned the eggs. You see. So just as it's impossible that a little sparrow could dry up the ocean, it's impossible that the Hare Krishna movement can take over the world. It's impossible. But we have Krishna in our side. We got Lord Chaitanya in our side. We have Lord Nityananda. They have unlimited mystic powers. We simply have to show that we're qualified to lead this planet.
That's all.
Simply, we have to show that we are qualified to lead this planet. And then Krishna will give it to us, this whole planet. But the trouble is, we're not qualified. We're more interested in serving our senses sometimes than in serving Krishna. Therefore, this movement is not going anywhere very much, you see. Because so much of our energy is going into sense gratification. So in this way, we're cheating ourselves out of the supreme nectar of taking over the world for Srila Prabhupada. So why cheat ourselves? I mean, does that make sense? To cheat yourself? Why would you cheat yourself? It's stupid. Therefore, we should be intelligent. We should bring our senses completely under control. Always striving to remember Krishna and to serve Krishna with our every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances. And then you'll see the fun. You'll see amazing things happening in front of you every day. You feel the amazing things happening within your heart every day. as you become more and more awakened in Krishna consciousness. And as you see a world that is becoming more and more attracted to Krishna consciousness, make a revolution in your heart, and you can revolutionize the whole world. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Hari Bol Ananda Prabhu.
Living entities are cheated. Even myself, I'm cheated by Maya.
You're cheated by your mind?
Maya.
My Maya, okay.
So he said this.
Now because you want to be cheated, therefore she's cheating you. So give up your desire to be cheated. And she will stop cheating you. Next question.
These pictures of Krishna, that, can they show the beauty of Krishna?
The what? Of the picture?
Of Krishna?
It does or does not?
Can they?
Yes. Depending on how good the artist is. There are some, if a great devotee makes a picture, a painting of Krishna, that painting will reveal very, very much of Krishna's beauty becomes revealed in that painting. Actually, if a devotee of the Lord, sincere devotee of the Lord, makes a picture, a painting of Krishna, Krishna's full, unlimited beauty can be revealed in that painting. Because that form is non-different from the original Krishna. Krishna fully manifests himself in that form. I know in my own experience, I was a young spiritual seeker back in 1968. In Denver, Colorado, USA. And I found a beautiful, beautiful painting of Krishna. One of those Brijbasi prints. ISKCON, the BBT has now republished that poster. It's a very beautiful poster. So I fell in love with that painting of Krishna. And I didn't know who that girl there was with him, but I could see she was in love with him also. I didn't know who she was, but I said, boy, she really, you can see she really loves him like anything, you know. So, I'm convinced that in that painting of Krishna, the full unlimited splendor of Krishna is available. It's according to our degree of surrender, that's all. In other words, if you are fully Krishna conscious, you will see how this is Lord Chaitanya himself standing in front of you. I was with Prabhupada in 1975 in Atlanta, Georgia. I was standing just beside Srila Prabhupada. He was on the Vyasasana, I was standing on his right side. And Srila Prabhupada looked at the deities of Gaura-Nitya on the altar. And he said, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda have appeared in Atlanta. And he was gazing upon the deities. So I knew that he actually saw Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda standing there in their original forms. I was seeing some deities, but he was seeing the Lord himself. There's a difference, you see. So we can purify our vision and become completely pure devotees of the Lord. We will see that God himself is standing there on the altar. And we will see in the paintings also the same thing. Krishna will speak to us even. Our hearts become completely pure. The deity will speak to us. We simply have to qualify ourselves by pure love. Any other questions? All right.
It's about cheating. Why we want to be cheated?
Why do we want to be cheated? We foolishly think that by trying to be the enjoyer, that we'll enjoy more than we will by being the enjoyed. You understand? In other words, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. And instead of understanding that by serving him, I will also be a supreme enjoyer. We cheat ourselves by foolishly thinking, let me be the supreme enjoyer. Forget Krishna. So why do we do that? Because of foolishness. We think that we'll get more pleasure by being a cheater than we will by being honest. Why does a thief become a thief? He knows he's cheating. Why does he become a cheater? Because he thinks he'll get more pleasure being a cheater than he will being an honest man. That means he is less intelligent. Intelligent person knows it's better to be honest than to be a cheater. But a foolish man, he thinks it's better to be a cheater than to be honest. So it is due to foolishness, our less intelligence, that we choose to be a cheater rather than to be an honest devotee of the Lord. Do you understand? Very good. Okay, next question. Wow, she's really loaded today. Okay, go ahead.
He was telling about games, but I heard that Krishna also...
Who?
Game.
Sport.
Games, okay.
But Krishna also makes sports, and did devotees also should make their health very good by making some sport.
Actually, if you want some good exercise, some nice aerobic exercise, we have our kirtan. You can sing and dance in the kirtan and get very good aerobic exercise. There's no need to go to the gym. Just come to the temple and sing and dance. But if you want some exercise, Prabhupada, you can do some yoga. If you want some exercise, there's yoga is there. You can even do some push-ups, or a little exercise is okay. Nothing wrong. But to waste time, you know, the whole afternoon playing a ball game, it just doesn't make sense, you know. If you need a little exercise for good health, there's no harm. You can do some exercises. But, you know, you can work out a little bit. There's no harm to do that. But to waste hours and hours of time playing sports doesn't make sense. Prabhupada said it's a violation of the regulated principle. We have, if you really like sporting, go out on book distribution. That's the supreme sport. Battle it out with the asuras on the streets of Lithuania. Go out on the book distribution marathon, you see. That's really a sporting activity, let me tell you. Supreme sport. It's really exciting. I mean, every time you distribute one book, it's another point scored for Lord Chaitanya's team. We have to defeat those asuras. Can we think of Prabhupada ever playing a ball game? Prabhupada said, okay, let's have a basketball game, you know. And Prabhupada would get out and play basketball. I mean, come on. That's not for Brahmins, you know. It's for Shudras, you know. And Brahman doesn't, you're not interested in these ball games, you know. Any other questions? Yeah.
Every day we have to read Prabhupada books. How long time we have to read this?
How much time you should spend reading every day?
How much minimum we have to spend by reading Srila Prabhupada books?
How much minimum? At least 24 hours a day you should read. 24 hours minimum. Prabhupada said that. He said you should always be engaged in study. Always. And he said, and also be 24 hours a day engaged in doing service. You may say, but Prabhupada, that's impossible. You told me to do 24 hours service and 24 hours studying. How I can do both of them, Prabhupada? But actually it is possible you can do both. And I'll tell you the secret of how to do it. Studying the books, that is, it's like you take a chemistry course in the university, you see. You go to the lecture and you study the theories of chemistry. And then you go to the laboratory and you apply the theories. That laboratory work increases your theoretical understanding because you see the theories in practice. And no one can become a qualified chemist unless they study the theory of chemistry and they go to the laboratory and make the chemicals work. So the laboratory is also a part of studying chemistry. So practical service means you're going to the laboratory of devotional service. You're studying the theories and now you're applying the theories to see how they work. You're studying how the theories work while you're engaged in the practical service. We will tell you that by scrubbing the pots in the kitchen, you're purifying your heart. You study this principle, you've written it in your notebook, by washing the pots, I clean my heart. That's studying. Now we say, okay, Prabhu, go do it in the kitchen. Clean those pots. And if you're in the mood of devotional service, as you're scrubbing those pots, you will feel how your heart's becoming purified. You're going, wow, let me scrub harder. Look at that dirt. Oh, there's a pot went by just now. But yeah, look at that dirt. Let me get off every little black spot. Make those pots completely shiny, you see. You see, you will feel how you're becoming liberated by washing those pots. So in this way, you can study 24 hours a day and do service 24 hours a day. Okay, Rupa Nuga Prabhu.
When we are cleaning our heart, the mood is coming out, and it's hard to breathe because all of this dust coming.
How to breathe?
All this.
Mood, all the dirt's coming out. Okay.
And it become too hard to breathe.
Breathe, hard to breathe, because
yeah,
so all the dirt's coming out. Actually, in our dirty condition, it's hard to breathe. And the more the dirt comes out, it gets easier and easier to breathe. It's not that cleansing the heart, the dirt out of your heart makes it difficult to breathe. No, it's already difficult to breathe. And the more you cleanse your heart, every speck of dirt that comes out, your breathing gets easier, 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 easier. That is the reality. So now you give your heart a very good cleaning. And you'll be breathing very ecstatically. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Any other questions? This is the last question, Sankirtan Prabhu.
When you're chanting Hare Krishna, it's very important to avoid offense.
We have to avoid the offenses, yes.
Can you explain how we should do this?
Yes. The first thing is you have to know what the offenses are. If you don't know what the offenses are, how you can avoid them? So, once you know what they are, then you have to understand the worst offense is the first one. To be offensive towards devotees, that's the worst of the offenses, actually. Because you can only enter into Nama Ras to the degree that you enter into Vaishnava Sangha Ras. If I can't get along nicely with the devotees, I'm always fighting and quarreling with devotees. Guess what? No namaras. Because of offenses. But if I can learn how to have sweet, loving relationships with every devotee, if I can give my heart to the devotees and accept them when they give their hearts to me, then there will be a constant flow of love between me and the devotees. And in that mood, the name is like a sweet, unlimited ocean. And every time you chant, you'll just be diving, you'll be deep sea diving in that nectarine ocean of Namaras. The key is our relationships with devotees. We should never be envious. Oh, that devotee is more successful than me. That devotee is more famous than me. That devotee has more money than I do. That devotee has a, you know, he has this, he has that, that I don't have, therefore I hate him. No, don't be envious of devotees. Every devotee is a very special gift. Every devotee in this movement is a special gift from Lord Chaitanya. So we have to appreciate each and every devotee in this movement. Seeing every one of them is the mercy manifestation of Lord Chaitanya. Every devotee is a very special soul that Lord Chaitanya has brought to this movement. So in this way, if we can appreciate every devotee in the movement, and we chant that name, oh, it'll be so sweet. Sweeter than the sweetest honey. Mellifluous. You don't know that word? Mellifluous? It means flowing with sweetness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Okay, that's it for today. Now, those who want to catch the next lecture, you have to come to Visaganas. Then I'll be coming back tomorrow to speak here again in Kaunas. So we thank you all very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.